Thank you, Lynn. The dust is still falling from the rafters. That is wonderful. I invite you to stand if you can. We hear God's word today. It comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke 10, 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him, and she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Come on, tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Heavenly Father, thank you that you are so honest and kind of just show us the relationships of people with you and you with people along the way that are of great help to us. Lord, teach us through your Holy Spirit today from your word, and help me to preach and to give me clarity of mind, be concise and to the point here today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is probably the hardest time in the worship service because it's time for you to listen to a sermon and a message from God's word. But some of you say to yourselves, "Not for me, preacher. This is a time I get to sleep, get rested up." There's only one guy here I know that does that. Dean, when I mention any name, and it does that on occasion, but it's okay. I still love you. As we look at our text today, we see that Jesus and his disciples were invited into the home of Martha, where it says she had a sister by the name of Mary, and they also have a brother. He's not mentioned here, but you notice what their brother's name was?
Lazarus,
very good, yes. And he's not mentioned here, but just the ladies are. And their home was not far from Jerusalem. You know the name of the place where they lived? Very good. Bethany, yes. Wasn't that far from Jerusalem? Jesus goes there from time to time and spends time with his family. And the focus here are really on the sisters, Martha and Mary. Now, they're siblings from the same family. But you know how it is. You can be from the same family and yet be so different. Some of you have grandkids or you got your own kids. And you go like, "Yeah, they're us, from us, but we don't know where they came from." You know, they're so different. One is like more like the dad, and one's more like the mom, and some are like neither one of them. You go like, "What happened here?" And some people say like, "It was the UPS man, the postman, something." But all kidding put to the side, that we find that they have different personalities, different gifts, different interests that we have with Mary and Martha here. Martha Mary and Martha are often contrasted as though each believer must be like one of these. You must be more like Martha or you must be more like Mary. Well, today I'd like to kind of take a little more of a different approach looking at both of these sisters and to put them where they balance each other out. So kind of like blessed is being more balanced. You might have a little bit of Martha in you, and you might have a little bit of Mary in you, but it's good to have a little bit of each. But I want you to notice, first of all, is who did the invitation to Jesus and his disciples to come into the home? We find it's Martha. So Martha is outgoing. We can learn some things from her. And to think of it, you know, Jesus, and how many disciples did he have? 12. So she's invited 13 people into her house. When was the last time you invited 13 people over to your house? And I said, I would never invite that many to my house. I would invite probably 6 or so, but that would be about it. But think of Martha here inviting in Jesus and his disciples into her home, and the first thing she thinks of is like, I got to feed these guys. And so she goes off into the kitchen and to do the work that needs to be done to be able to take care of her guests. And she wants to make sure that her guests are fed good. And I think that is very normal for many of you that are here today. If somebody comes over, you've got to say, you've got to at least have a cup of coffee, or how about some cookies, or you know, something like that. Or I just made some jam. You'd like to try my jam, you know? You know, that's just a part of who we are. And I just tell you, when I come and see you, I just want water. Don't worry about coffee. Don't worry about goodies or cookies because I'm trying to get my six-pack back. I don't think it'll ever come back, but I got to try. So I just say no, don't take that personal. I'm just trying to cut back on sugar until I get home. And then my wife goes, what are you eating that for again? It's kind of like it goes good in the mouth. Mary, on the other hand, is interested in the guest that has come into her home, the person by the name of Jesus and his followers. And the first thing that she wants to do is to sit at his feet and just to listen to the Savior. And that's what she does. Now, she's got the front row seat, sitting at the feet of Jesus. We know that Mary is not Lutheran. Because Lutherans like to sit in the back. You know, it's kind of how it goes. There's three things about Mary that are mentioned in the Gospels. And on each occasion, we find her that she is sitting at the feet of Jesus. It is here in this text, in Luke chapter 10, she's listening to the words of Jesus by sitting at his feet. Again, in John chapter 11, verse 32, she is sitting in Jesus' presence, and she's sharing her sorrows with him. You'd have to read that in the 11th chapter of John. And then in John chapter 12, verse 3, it is Mary who pours out her expensive perfume and wipes the feet of Jesus. So there's kind of like three different fragrances that surround Mary that we see in Scripture. The first fragrance right here in our text today is one of onions and garlic. The smell of food that is being prepared in the kitchen. Or maybe it's fish, I don't know, could be. The next one is that she has the fragrance of death because her brother has died. And that's why she's sharing her sorrows with Jesus. And the third fragrance that surrounds her is the one with the perfume that she pours on Jesus' feet and wipes it with her hair. But that's Mary, different than Martha. Let's consider Martha's situation here. She's preparing a meal for these guests that have come into her home. And we find that in all that she has to do, she kind of, it crowds out her time to be with Jesus. She is, her attention is all set on what she wants to do in the kitchen and the meal and making sure everyone is comfortable. And in the process of doing that, she just kind of neglects Jesus altogether because she's in the kitchen. She's kind of preparing everything. I think of my mom. My mom listens to these services, by the way. She'll get this one too. My mom never sits down when you go see her. She likes to stand, and where is she? In the kitchen. And she likes to make sure you've got everything or do you need something. And we say, Mom, sit down. Oh, I'm okay. I can just stand here and You guys might need something, and I'll make sure I get it for you. She's there to please her guests. She's a lot like Martha, always there to take care of the company who comes. And especially with Martha, she invites Jesus and his disciples into the home. So it's here's a teaching point that I want you to grab onto here today. It's this. What we do with Jesus is more important than what we do for Jesus. And I'll say that again. There's just one word difference. What we do with Jesus is more important than what we do for Jesus. We need time with him. And oftentimes we get that turned around. We think that we need to be doing things, a lot of good things. But in the process, we do a lot of good things for us, hoping that God will smile on us more or be more happy with us if we do a lot of things. But in the process, we can crowd him out. And it's really not about Jesus at all. It becomes more about me and what I do. And that's what we got to be careful of that. We got to watch ourselves that we don't cross that line where we start like the busyness of life, but we forget really who Jesus is and why we're doing it. Sometimes it's for our own desires, our own motivations. It's our own agenda. It's really not the Lord's agenda. And that can be a tough one to kind of sort out at times. Martha had some expectations on Mary. Her number one expectation of Mary was to help her in the kitchen. As she comes back out and she's even bold enough to be able to tell Jesus, talking about that she's overwhelmed and she's distracted by all the preparations that need to be done in the kitchen. And then she accuses Jesus of not caring about her. Jesus, don't you care that I'm one doing all the work here today and my sister is just sitting there? Tell her to come and give me a hand. Tell her to come and help me. So Martha is pretty confident that Jesus is going to take her side. And instead we find where Jesus says those famous words, Martha, Martha. You are worried and upset about many things. Martha is agitated. She's all worked up. And Mary is sitting at his feet. Could that be said of you this morning? Could you be here this morning and you have got a lot of worries on your mind? You're worried about different things. You are upset about a lot of different things, or you're upset with someone or some people. You are here today and you have many distractions that you find it hard to even concentrate on the message here today because you've already gone here and there and all over the place like a pinball. Bing, 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 bing. Thinking about your worries and distractions and things you're upset with. And then you come down to the point of saying, Lord, don't you care about me? You kind of like a pity party. Lord, don't you care about me? Because we know in reality that the answer to that question is, of course, Jesus cares about you. All the time. In everything. We don't have to ask him, even though there's times we do. Jesus goes on and he says, Mary has chosen what is better. And what did Mary choose to say when Jesus came into the room? What we have here in our text today is we find that Mary says nothing. She is very glad to just be sitting at his feet. What did Mary choose to do? To sit and to listen. Martha, on the other hand, is the one out there kind of causing a scene. and making, it's kind of stirring the pot here. Jesus, you choose sides. In the Greek, in the Greek, what is being said here with Martha is that she is drawn in different directions. She is being pulled this way and that way. She's thinking about this and that, and she is being pulled all over the place. We would call it probably like she is like a chicken with its head cut off. Jumping this way and jumping that way. If you ever saw a chicken butcher, you know what that's like. And in the Greek with Mary, it says that it is continual listening. She is zoned in to hear what Jesus has to say or is talking about. So you got two different things going on here with the ladies. One who is busy doing this and that, and one that is focused in on listening. It's not about being busy that's important to God. It's about sitting at his feet and listening to his word and letting the word in Christ to serve us in his word. And then we go and serve him. It's kind of let the Lord set the agenda for us. But it's sitting at his feet first, worshiping him, listening to him, and then going out to do with his in his power and in his strength to do it for him. There's some verses I want to give to you that I think are very appropriate in so many different situations in life. And you've heard these before. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It is the pouring out your requests, your whatever you're concerned about, and asking God to come and help or to be with you, to give you the strength for what you're facing or going through. And it says here then that his peace that passes all understanding, that peace of God will then guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's there in those two verses. Another one is 1 Peter 5, 7. Just shared this with Chuck in the hospital on Friday. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your cares or all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Good verses to be mindful of. Not just once a year or once a week, but probably every day. The church needs both Martha's and Mary's. I think Martha is more of a type A person. You need type A's. And Mary's more of a type B. But the church needs both. May we choose to sit at Jesus' feet before we get too busy with our own agendas. May our agendas be the Lord's agenda. I encourage you to choose what is better. Choose what is better, because it cannot be taken away from you. And that is to sit, first of all, at Jesus' feet. As Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for these two ladies, Martha and Mary. How you use them in our lives here today to remind us that we can oftentimes get too busy, that we don't listen, to what you have to say to us. May we look to you to help us in listening more, as we got 2 years in only 1 month. So may we listen twice as much and speak less. As we follow you, as we serve you, as we look at those around us, Lord, we just pray that you would use us, fill us, each and every day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed. Have you ever asked yourself, why do we have this creed? A creed is a statement of faith or a statement of belief. You know, and it just didn't come out one day somebody said, well, let's give the people in church something to do. Let's have them stand and make them recite this. No, there's a reason behind it, and the simple one is this. It wasn't written by the apostles. But way back early in the beginning of the church, they had to decide, there's other things being taught and said in the church. Somebody said that Jesus was not God's son, or that he was not God. And the apostles and the early church father says, oh yes, he was. And so up comes the Apostles' Creed is addressing some issues in the early church that says, as real believers, as true blue Christians, this is what we believe. And if you take one of these things out, it's because it's a very concise little statement of faith here, but if you remove one of these things of saying, well, I don't believe in hell, but I believe in everything else that this says, you can't be a believer. You must believe everything that's said here. And so as you say it today, be mindful of this, that this was done with a lot of people coming together of saying, how are we going to address this issue and what we're hearing around the country in even other churches and other teachers. So let's say it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Just pray for Chuck today as I think of him in the hospital, just for him to know that we're praying for him. I think we'll go a long ways. And then we'll just close with the Lord's Prayer. I'll give the benediction as we go to the end of the service here. Heavenly Father, I thank you that, like I've told Chuck along the way, and your word says in Proverbs that good medicine is laughter. And it truly is the best medicine. You have a little sense of humor and to laugh at things that happen to us. Sometimes, Lord, we can't laugh for maybe a few days afterwards. But I thank you that he is where he's at. Be with Donna by his side, and those that come and visit him, that we'd be blessings to him. And that we know, Lord, that it is you that can bring his health back to where it needs to be. And we just pray for your healing hand upon him, as well as the other prayer requests we have before us today. And so we just leave them in your hands today, Lord, whoever they may affect, whoever they may be. And we just pray the prayer, Lord, you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not. but deliver us from evil. For thine is